Much. How many are digging Jared's new haircut? Isn't that looking pretty sweet? I told him he's getting steps and steps closer to godliness right here. So apparently what happened, Jared, for those of you who don't know, he's our middle school youth intern. And apparently he told his teenagers on Wednesday, I believe, that if they brought 15 guests on any particular night, he would shave his hair. And so apparently the Lord wanted him to have a haircut, and parents were involved in it. It was awesome. It was great. So anyway, I kid them, but I'm really thankful for them. Pastor Bob, as you might have seen, isn't up there today. He's in Florida visiting his father. And so I'm just so thankful we have other people who can step up and lead us in worship. And they did a great job just taking us to the throne of God so that our hearts can be prepared for his word. So again, I just want to thank the team. Well, it's hard for me to believe, but this is the last message of this series. And for me personally, it has been just a challenge in a good way. Every week, I feel like the Lord is speaking directly to me. And so I don't know if you're receiving much out of this, but I want to assure you, your pastor is getting a lot out of this. And so we've been in this series for now 8 weeks, every week since the new year. And it was interesting because my wife serves in the nursery during the first hour, and she sometimes kids me and says, "Hey, listen, you say what God has to say, okay? But just say it quicker in the first service because I'm watching the kids." And for whatever reason, I've gone over this series 5 to 7 minutes every week, and I kind of apologize because I want to be respectful of your time, but I don't apologize in the sense that I felt like the Lord is just really passionate that he's building up in me as I present this. So today we come to our final message. And I just want to thank you for the encouragement. You are very attentive. That's easy to speak to. Your Bibles are open. You're taking notes. And that's just so encouraging when you present the Word of God week in and week out. So I want to compliment you and thank you for being such a good congregation to preach to. Today we come to our final message, as I mentioned. I just want to quickly review. For some of you, you haven't been here all 7 weeks or 8 weeks. We've been building a theme out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and this encourages me. You know, the older I get, the more I fall apart, and that's true for all of us. Physically, we are wasting away every day. It's not the most encouraging message that Paul is trying to present to us, but it's a true picture. But he is trying to encourage us on this analogy, saying even though our outward body is wasting away or falling apart, if we know Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says that we're being renewed day by day. And so we know as Christ followers that Jesus not only lives in us, but the Holy Spirit of God specifically indwells us to the point that the Spirit of God is going to work in us. And he's making us more and more like Jesus. And so we've been asking the question, if God's at work in us, what's our part? What can we do to make sure that we don't get in the way of the Holy Spirit? Because you know as well as I know that if we're following Jesus, the enemy of God doesn't want you to follow Jesus. So he's going to try to stop you from following Jesus. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to tempt you into some sort of a sin, or he's going to try to discourage you in this world in some way, try to stop you in your tracks. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what can we do? Because I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Spirit working in my life every day. I want to wake up tomorrow more like Jesus. I don't want to be in the same spiritual place that I was this time last month, last year, 5 years ago. And so as followers of Christ, what is it that we can do? And so you can see on the screen here, I'm not going to take the time to go through all of these. I'll just read them. But the first week we talked about remaining in Jesus. This is our power source. This is as Christ followers. This is our secret to our success, how we live in this world. It's not by any other power, but the power of Jesus. Remember that verse was, apart from me, Jesus was saying, we can do nothing. The second week we talked about the importance of being in the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but every day, discover the Word of God and the power that it can bring to your life. Week 3, we talked about removing the idols from our hearts. Week 4, we looked at the prodigal and talked about returning to the gospel. Week 5, we talked about trials, and I asked a simple question, are you fine with being refined? In other words, we know trials are designed to make us more like Jesus, but are you okay with that? Because typically we're like, no, God, why don't you just bless me with all kinds of stuff, and then I'll be a little more like your son. But Jesus doesn't work that way. A lot of times he takes us through hard things And he gets rid of some of the things, blind spots of our life, so that we can become more like Jesus. We talked week 6 about resetting our spiritual eyes. And then last week we talked about resolving the enemy's attack. The reason I show you all these messages is because they're on our website. And so you can check them out. Maybe there's one in particular that you're struggling with or that you missed. And I encourage you to check that out on our website. Well, today we come to our final message. And I want to just give you a heads up. It's a simple message, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's a very challenging message. This week, as I studied, there was many times as I studied that I thought, okay, I get it. I know it. This is very simple to understand. But then the Lord kept coming back. But yes, Jeff, you might have a head knowledge, but are you actually living this out? And so today is more of an application message. And I want to talk to you specifically about remission. Remission. I suggest to you that if you're struggling in your spiritual walk, then you need to wrap your minds and, more importantly, your life around this concept of remission. Now, I think it's been pretty obvious. The last several weeks, I've been taking words that begin with R-E, but I've been trying to have two words come out of the same word. For instance, remember the very first week, remain. I wanted you to see that word, but I also wanted you to see the word main. And the point of that message was simply that our main thing should be to remain in Jesus. You see how we used one word to play on that two ways, right? Another example is remove. I suggested to you that if you want to move forward spiritually, that it's a result of stopping long enough to remove the hidden idols that might be in our heart, right? And I already said refine. I asked the question real simply, are you fine with being refined? So all 7 weeks, I've kind of done this one word, but I've had a play on two words. And today is no different. As we look at the word remission, most of us understand that that word means forgiveness. We are going to talk about forgiveness this morning, but the other word that's in that word is obvious. It's the word mission. And we're going to learn that our mission is really about forgiveness. And so I want to talk to you a few minutes about this morning. Let's just pray and ask God to bless this final message and to challenge us specifically. Father, thank you again for this series. Now, Lord, I pray about this specific sermon. I pray, Father, that right now you would open up our heart's door, that you would remove any blinders from our eyes, that, Father, we would have ears to listen, and that, Lord, you would challenge us to be more like your son. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me try to talk about the first part of this, or the last part of this word, the word mission. Let me try to illustrate this. Most of you have recognized that we have been the last 2 weeks in the Winter Olympics. I don't know if you've enjoyed watching the games. I've personally enjoyed watching the games. The Americans haven't done as great as they were hoping, but they finished pretty strong, and they've had some pretty monumental moments, and so it's been overall a pretty good games, even for the Americans. But one of the things that I want to point out is, did you know, when it comes to the Winter Olympics, that 92 countries participated in the Winter Games. 92 countries. And from these 92 countries, there were 2,922 athletes all coming to one place to participate, you ready for this? In only 15 sports. But out of these 15 sports, there were 105 different events, and there were a total of 315 medals that could be won. So think about it. 2,922 athletes are coming to one place to hopefully get on the podium and win either gold, silver, or bronze. Now, if you went to these athletes and you asked them the question, why are you coming to South Korea? I would imagine that most of them wouldn't say, well, the primary reason I'm going to South Korea is because I just want to have a good vacation. Or, you know what? I've never been to South Korea before. I think it would be fun to go there. The Olympics is providing a way. It's a free ticket. I get to go there. I get to participate in my certain event. It should be a lot of fun, right? No, most of the athletes, if you interviewed them, would say, I'm going for one purpose. Matter of fact, I've trained for 4 years, in most cases a lot longer than that, for one moment, and that's, I want to get on the podium. I want to win specifically gold. To illustrate a little bit further, do you guys know who this guy is on the screen? John, what's his last name? Schuster. If you don't know who he is, you will soon learn who he is. He is the skipper, the captain, if you will, the team leader of the curling team, the men's curling team. They said going into the games, these guys didn't have a shot. And not only did they not do well in the prelims, but they ended up winning the gold medal. It was on really late at night from like 1 in the morning to like 4 in the morning. Anyone stay up and watch it? No one. Anyone read about it the next day? Most of us, right? That's the way we did Olympics this year. But you know what's so cool about this? I was learning about his story. And this is what he said. This is what I found out. Did you know that he was actually in the Olympics in 2006, 2010, 2014, and then this year, of course? In 2006, he was part of the team that won a bronze medal, the only other medal that we won in curling. And he said this. When he was standing there receiving his bronze in 2006, he said it was frustrating for him to watch another flag and another national anthem go up in the gold medal. And he resolved in his heart at that moment that he was going to specifically win a gold and he was going to hear his national anthem play. That was his resolve. That was his determination. Well, he went to the Olympics in 2010. They failed miserably. They went to the Olympics in 2014, again, failed miserably. I don't even think they won a game, right? After the Olympics in 2014, guess what they did to the captain? They cut him. John Schuster was cut from the team, and he had a choice to make. Was he going to fulfill his goal, his purpose, this resolve that he had in 2006 as he's standing there watching another national anthem being played and fulfill this dream of his? Or was he going to give up? And he decided not to give up. So he went to the gym every day. He ended up losing 30 pounds. He continued to practice curling to the point that the following year he got invited back onto the team. And the rest is history. He ends up fulfilling his goal, his dream, his mission. And if you looked at all of these stories that we've read about and saw on TV the last couple of weeks, it's the same story. They have been training their entire life. They have been motivated their entire life for one moment here in South Korea, and that's to win the gold. That's why when we're watching figure skating, when the guy or girl does a little whatever, it's, I don't know figure skating terms, like the twisty flippy thing in the air, and they land and they make it, we're like, yes. But when they fall, there's one of two reactions, like, oh no, I feel so bad for them. Or most guys are like, that's funny, right? Right? But we feel horrible because their entire training comes to one point. And they either succeed or they fail. And I was thinking about this as it relates to this series. And I was thinking about this as it relates to this word. And it dawned on me that Jesus' mission coming to this earth all came down to one big event. He left heaven and came to this earth not just to check up on his creation. He didn't come to this earth just to teach us lessons. He didn't come to this earth just to raise up 12 guys who would be his followers. He didn't come to this earth just to heal people from their physical problems. No, Jesus came to this earth for one purpose, and that was to die for our sins in our place, for our sin. And then when he was put into that grave 3 days later, he came out of that grave defeating death. That, my friends, was his mission. He didn't come to receive any medals or awards. He didn't come so that he could be elevated. No, he came to serve our greatest need, and that was someone to take care of our sin problem. That was the mission. Matter of fact, if I asked you a question right now, and if I gave you maybe a pop quiz and asked you to write down in your bulletin or your sermon notes, in one sentence, could you summarize briefly the mission of Jesus Christ? What would you say? Matter of fact, if I asked you to look into the Gospels, because we got to become people who don't just say, well, this is what I think. We have to become people, don't you agree, that says, this is what the Bible says. Amen? And so, where in the Bible can you find maybe a sentence or less that clarifies for us the mission of Jesus. And so we could look at all the Gospels, for instance. Like, for instance, you can write this down. It's not on the screen. But Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. You can look it up later. Matthew 20, verse 28. And then Mark 10, verse 45. Both Matthew and Mark, followers of Jesus, both Matthew and Mark say the exact same thing. In other words, if we had to pin them down and say, hey, Matthew, can you summarize, you hung out with him for 3 years, can you summarize the mission of Jesus in maybe a sentence or less? Matthew and Mark would be quick to say the same thing. Again, Matthew 20, 28, Mark 10, 45, and here's what it says. You know this verse. It says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but the Son of Man came to what, church? To serve. In other words, Jesus didn't come to this earth so that he could come to some sort of a podium and receive some sort of a prize. Jesus came to this earth so that he could serve man's greatest need. Now, if you went to the Gospel of Luke, also a follower of Jesus, Luke in chapter 19, verse 10, you could look it up later, chapter 19, verse 10, he doesn't disagree with Matthew and Mark, but he summarizes it in a different way. He doesn't say like Matthew and Mark. They say, hey, Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And by the way, Matthew adds, and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke says, okay, I'm going to say it a different way. Here's my sentence summary of what the mission of Jesus is. And he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the what, church? The lost. And so, again, we're still in the context of the mission. So Matthew and Mark are helping us understand Jesus is coming here to serve us. Luke's saying, no, he's specifically, this is how he's going to serve us. It's by seeking us out and saving us. But I love what John says. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. If you don't have a Bible, it's on the screen. But this is what the Bible says. And John summarizes the mission of Jesus in one sentence. I love it. John chapter 1, verse 29 says this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, if you had to ask John, hey, why is Jesus coming to this earth? John would quickly say, for one purpose, this is how he's going to serve us. This is how he's going to save us. It's by taking away our sins. I'm going to share with you two big thoughts this morning. Here's the first one. Thought number one is this. Jesus' mission is about my remission. In other words, the whole reason Jesus came to this earth was to provide you and I forgiveness. That was his mission. In the words of John, he was coming here to take away our sin. The only way he can come and take away our sin is he has to serve our basic need. How is he going to serve our basic need? Well, Luke says it's by saving us. How? By the cross. By coming out of that grave. He is offering us forgiveness. This is the mission of Jesus Christ. Now, let me elaborate on this a little bit. You're there in John chapter 1:29. Notice what John says about Jesus. He doesn't say, look, to his students and to those who are around him. He doesn't say, look, there's the King of Kings. Was Jesus the King of Kings? Is he the King of Kings? Absolutely. Is he coming back one day to this earth and will he reign and rule as King of Kings? You better believe it. He is. He will. He didn't call him Lord. Is he Lord? Absolutely. He doesn't call him Savior. Is he Savior? Yes. What does John decide to call Jesus? He decides to call him the Lamb of God. And you say, Pastor Jeff, I get it, but why is this so important? Well, understand who he's talking to. He's talking to a bunch of people who understood the Old Testament sacrificial system. They every day saw priests in a temple sacrificing lambs to cover their sin. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, only once a year, because no one was allowed in the Holy of Holies. And they would go in there and they would sprinkle lamb's blood from an innocent lamb on the mercy seat on behalf of the sins of the entire nation. And so when John says, look, there's the Lamb of God, what he's trying to say is, hey, that person is on a mission, and his mission is to take away our sins. Now, I want you to think about this by looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 on the screen. The author of Hebrews says this, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, I want you to remind yourselves, talk back to me. John says, look, there's the Lamb of God, and what's he going to do? He's going to what? He's going to take away our sins. But the author of Hebrews says, listen, the Old Testament priest, every day, they have to stand, and one after one, here comes another innocent lamb with innocent blood, and that blood is shed on behalf of the guilty sinner. And the next day, here's another lamb, and another lamb, and another lamb. And once a year, they're going through these rituals where they go into the Holy Holies and sprinkle innocent lamb's blood onto the mercy seat. Why? Because the Old Testament priest, you ready for this? Listen carefully. Could only cover sin. They could never take it away. That's why it was done day after day and year after year, because they could only cover the people's sins. They could not take away the sins. And so when John says, look, there's the Lamb of God who's going to take away our sins, he's explaining something completely different. Look at the next verse on the screen. Verse 12 says this, but when this priest, it's talking about Jesus, when this priest, a little interjection there, Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen, there's a play on words here. The author of Hebrews is saying, you want to understand something about the Old Testament priest? And again, the Jewish audience understood this. Those priests had to stand. There was no sitting down. There was no break. There was always a need to cover sin. Just when they got done with one sacrifice, oh, here comes another sinner, and they need to cover their sin. And this is how God set it up. Oh, and they need to cover their sin. But the author here is saying, after Jesus, the Lamb of God, sacrificed his pure and innocent blood on behalf of all the world, one time for all time, what does he do? He sits down. Why? Because the mission is complete. Amen? Jesus came to provide you and I a way to be forgiven of our sins, and he has provided the only way for us to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus didn't come just to cover our sins, church. He came to take away our sins, to give us a clean slate. Amen? Let me try to illustrate this again. Going back to the Olympics, you know, I'm in Olympic spirit. You know, today's the last day, right? How many know that the women's U.S. team won the hockey gold, right? Another huge, huge moment for the Americans. Again, the problem that the Americans had was they could never beat the Canadians. I'm sorry to all my Canadian friends, right? But they could never beat the Canadians. And the Canadians, the last four Olympics, have won gold. And so everybody said, this is the year. The problem with this game is it started at 11 o'clock at night. And I was determined to stay up and watch it. Most of the Olympics I would DVR and watch maybe the next day or the next afternoon or wait for the replay. But I'm watching this game live because you guys know, those of you who are diehards like me, 4 years ago the American women's hockey team was up with 3 minutes left to go by 2 goals. And they blew it. They lost. They scored 2 goals. Canada scored 2 goals. The Canadians scored 2 goals. And then they won it in overtime. Just heartbreak, right? Just heartbreak. And so here is the game. I'm up. I'm drinking coffee. I'm trying to stay awake. I'm, you know, slapping myself. I'm like, this is it. You know, USA, USA. And after the first period, I couldn't hold on. I had to go to bed. I'm like, you know what? I love my team, but my sleep's more important at this point. Probably going to lose anyway. They've lost the last 4 years, right? But when I went to bed, I set my phone on my Twitter account to have it on women's hockey for the Olympics. So when my alarm went off, I could simply look at the Twitter feed and I'll know who won. So my alarm goes off, right? And the first thing on my mind is, oh, it's early, but oh, who won the game? And I click on my phone and I look on my Twitter account and it says this, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. And I knew in that moment they won. So I turn on the TV and I'm like trying to fast forward it to see what's going on, right? And then I'm nervous because they win in overtime, a shootout. And I'm like, did they actually win? I'm looking through my Twitter. Like, are you sure they won? This doesn't look good, right? But they won. Mission accomplished. And what did that mean? Well, several of these girls played the last two Olympics and they determined that they weren't going to stop playing until they won the gold, right? And my point is this, Jesus came to this earth to accomplish one mission, my friends. And he accomplished it. There is a way for you and I to be forgiven of our sins. But here's the challenge, and this is where it's going to get a little tough. The question is not, did Jesus accomplish his mission? The question is, have you received his forgiveness? The truth of Scripture is Jesus did accomplish the mission. He was victorious over sin. He was victorious over death. But listen carefully, just because he died for the sins of the entire world and came out of that grave to offer life for the entire world, you know as well as I know, the entire world is not saved until they put their personal trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So the question that we have to wrestle with is, have we personally experienced the forgiveness of Christ? Acts 10:43 tells us this, everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You say, what do you have to believe? It's not an intellectual belief. It's not believing in Jesus like we believe that George Washington was our first president. It's not that type of intellectual belief. And by the way, the demons even believe intellectual faith about Jesus. They're not going to heaven. James 2 tells us that. The belief in Jesus is that he is not just an average man on earth who was good. The belief is that Jesus was God, is God, that he died in my place for my sin, for my punishment, that 3 days later he came out of that grave and he alone is the only one who can forgive me for my sins. And if that's your faith, my friends, then you have a relationship with Jesus. Now, for some of you, this is where the message should end. Now, I assure you, the message isn't going to end here. It's going to continue for a couple more minutes. But for some of you, that's your takeaway. Matter of fact, someone in the first service came up to me and says, I don't think I have a relationship with Jesus. I would like to talk to you about that. And maybe for you, you're in the same boat. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I know about Jesus. I have a lot of intellect about Jesus. I've been coming to church, but I can't think of a time where I have done Acts 10:43, where I have put my personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of a starting point where I went from spiritual death to spiritual life because of Jesus. And my friends, that's your application. That is your next step. That is what you need to do this morning. Matter of fact, last week I shared with you after my message that I was leaving to go to a youth rally that I was going to speak at. And some of you were praying for me because I told you I was speaking at 10:30 at night and I was tired. And when I showed up, there was a lot of energy. But praise God, 16 people there accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? That's pretty exciting, right? But they were in the same boat. They were showing up at this youth rally and their testimony was basically one after the other after the other. I came here knowing full well what was going to happen. I knew there was going to be a speaker. I knew there was going to be worship. I knew there was going to be activity. I thought I had a relationship with Jesus, but I can't think of a time that I personally put my faith in Jesus. And so last Sunday night was their night. And praise God for that. And my simple question this morning is that you this morning? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you have, and I'm assuming the majority of you have, then it dawned on me. When we receive the forgiveness of Jesus, then in that moment, not only does our eternal destiny change, not only does our life spiritually change, but guess what? Our mission changes. And here's what I want to do as we conclude. Look at Luke chapter 24. Now on the screen, it says 22. That is my fault. I typed it wrong. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 24. And specifically, I want you to see verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44 says this. Then he, who are we talking about? Jesus, he says, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. Now, let me stop right here and let me catch you up real quickly with the context. At this point, understand, Jesus has already resurrected from the grave. He's on the earth for about 40 days before he ascends. This is the day of his ascension. We can also read about this story in Acts chapter 1. Now, here's what you need to understand. During these 40 days, remember, after Jesus died and he resurrected, during these 40 days before Jesus ascends and sits at the right-hand throne of God, he meets with over 500 people on 10 different occasions. You'll recall he met with Mary Magdalene. He met with some other women on separate occasions. He met with the two disciples on Emmaus Road. He met with the disciples one time without Thomas. Remember that? And then another time with Thomas. Hey, feel my hands, feel my side, right? Remember that? He met with Simon Peter. He met with a large crowd, over 500 people, the Bible tells us. But here, what we're reading is the very last time he meets with people before he takes off to heaven. Again, you can read about it in Acts chapter 1. And he says, guys, here are your marching orders. Here's your mission. Now listen, don't crucify me over what I'm going to say right now. But notice what he did not say. He did not say, hey guys, I want you to just get together in a small group and study the Greek and Hebrew. Hey guys, I want you to get together and I want you to encourage each other until the day you pass away. Hey guys, I want you to get together and I want you to, you know, formulate programs and hopefully we can get lots of people to come to these. No, what did he say? He says, guys, here's the point. Verse 46. He says, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. What's the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection. Verse 47. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And look what he says. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. It dawned on me this week. Yes, Jesus's mission was about my remission. But as soon as I accept Jesus and experience his forgiveness, then my mission from that point forward becomes about proclaiming Jesus's remission. Jesus asked his disciples to go, starting in Jerusalem, and then through the entire world, proclaiming a message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that there, here's the line he gives them. This is the line. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. This is our calling. This is our mission. This is what we are supposed to do. So I have to ask some reflective questions. This week I'm studying, literally. And this is what God says to me. Hey, Jeff, do you know this? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard it 1,000 times. He says, hey, Jeff, could you teach on this? You know, again, it's not audible. God's not talking to me audible, but as I pray and meditate upon his word and think through it, God's speaking to me in my spirit. And he's saying, hey, Jeff, you know this, but are you living this? And specifically, here's the question I have to ask myself and I have to ask you. When is the last time that you proclaimed to someone else that Jesus will forgive their sins if they simply repent? I'm not asking you when's the last time you met in a small group and talked about the forgiveness of God and encouraged each other in that way. I'm asking a simple question. When's the last time you met with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who hasn't experienced his forgiveness, and said to them, based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins if you simply repent? Church, that's our mission. But here's what I find in my own life. I get so bogged down in other things, good things. Now, is there anything wrong with Bible studies and group meetings and digging into the Greek and the Hebrew? There is nothing wrong with that, but so many of us stop there. And we never get to this point of proclaiming Jesus, that there is forgiveness for sins if we simply repent. Church, this is our mission. This is why we are on earth. But what do? We change our mission. We deceive ourselves and we start thinking about other things. Not that we assume that this is our mission, but we get distracted with things like our work. And is work a good thing? Absolutely. Is work necessary? Absolutely. But is work our mission? And we get distracted with good things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be distracted by family. But is family our mission? Our mission is to speak the name of Jesus, that he offers forgiveness for those who repent. Now, your mission field is your family. Your mission field is your workplace. But are we having those conversations with those people who need God's forgiveness? I like to think of it this way. It's not on the screen, but the forgiven, that's you and I, we need to seek out those who need forgiveness. That's the lost world, and simply introduce them to the forgiver. The forgiven need to seek out those who need forgiveness, and we need to introduce them to the forgiver. Church, simply put, that is our job, and I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you, when's the last time you have done that? Think about it. I know it's very uncomfortable right now. Some of you are agreeing with my wife. Say it quickly. Let's end this thing, right? But I'm serious. Was it yesterday? Did you speak to somebody yesterday about the forgiveness of Jesus? Because that's why you're here. Was it this past week? That's what God's asking me. Jeff, did you do this the last week? Have you ever done it this past month? Jeff, that's why you're here. Jeff, evaluate the last half a year, the last 5 years. How many times have you fulfilled the mission, the very reason I have forgiven you was so that you could extend my forgiveness to others? Are you living on mission? And I'll tell you what, this week, I was convicted. And God started challenging me and saying, you know what? You need to pray for opportunities. And God challenged me a little bit further because I used to believe this lie that, you know, I was living it out through evangelism, relational evangelism. You ever heard those lines? Like, I'm just trying to build a relationship with my neighbors and try to win them over. And this is the lie that we believe. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but this is the lie that we believe. We believe that after living a relationship evangelism, that at some point our neighbor, in this case, is going to ask us about Jesus. Church, don't you believe that you can build a relationship with your neighbor? But that's not on them to ask you about Jesus. That's on you to tell them about Jesus. Build the relationship. Serve their needs. But my goodness, at some point, don't you agree on the authority of scriptures that we have to open up our mouth and proclaim the forgiveness of Jesus? That is our calling. That is our mission. That is why we are here. When I was in South Africa, at the end of December, and I was there at a church, and this college student was accepting Christ, or he accepted Christ a month before, and then he was getting baptized on that service, but the pastor decided to call him up on stage and gave him a microphone and decided to interview him. And he said, hey, I want to ask you some questions, not about your salvation, but I want to ask you some questions of what God has done in your life since salvation. And he said, well, what's God been doing? And this college student who's been saved for 30 days basically says, well, I have a hunger for the word of God that I've never had before. He said, I was always interested in the word of God. I was curious about it, but now I can't get enough of it. I can't soak it in enough. I can't read it enough. I can't memorize it enough. I can't learn about it enough. I just have this desire for the word of God. He said, but I think the biggest difference is how I use my free time. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, he probably was somebody who partied on the weekend. He was probably somebody that was maybe sinning on the weekend. I don't know what he was doing. And I didn't know what he meant by that. And the pastor didn't know what he meant by that. So the pastor says, well, what do you mean there's been a change as far as how you spend your free time? And this is what he says. Well, I don't spend as much time playing video games, and I don't spend as much time just kind of watching TV and hanging out. He goes, I figure that my time should be spent by going to the park and interacting with people and telling them about Jesus. And the pastor couldn't believe it. He's like, I didn't tell him to say that. I didn't even know he was going to say that. And he says, well, how often do you do this? You do this like once a week, or do you do it on Saturdays? When do you do this? He goes, oh, no, I do it every day. So every day for the last 30 days, you've been telling people about Jesus. Oh, yeah, at least 2 to 3 hours a day. I figure that's what we're supposed to do. And I have to follow this guy and speak afterwards. I'm like, let's just pray and leave. We just got the message, right? And I was thinking about that. How often do I proclaim the name of Jesus? And then as I was wrestling with this, before I go up to speak, he says one more thing. He goes, may I say one more thing? And the pastor says, sure. Now, up to this point, he's been asked questions and he's just been responding. But now he says, can I say something? And the pastor goes, sure. He goes, do you want to know why I think so many Christians are miserable? And all of us are like, uh-oh. Why? He says, because we simply fail to obey the most basic command of proclaiming the forgiveness of Jesus. And right there, in that moment, the Holy Spirit of God is saying to me, Jeff, you're trying to find fulfillment in your life. You're trying to find fulfillment in things. You're trying to find fulfillment in extracurricular activities. You're trying to find fulfillment perhaps in your work, in your family. And there's nothing wrong with trying to be satisfied in those things. But my friends, we are not here for those things. We are here to proclaim the forgiveness of God. And if you don't feel renewed by the Holy Spirit of God, maybe it's because you're not obeying the word of God. What if we start obeying the word of God, start proclaiming Jesus to the lost world? Let's see then if the Holy Spirit renews us spiritually. And that's the challenge that I received in South Africa, and that's the challenge I pass on to you today. A couple more things and we're done. This picture on the screen is a sad picture of the Canadian girls team after they lost the Olympics. You can see on their face, and they were quoted, I am miserable right now. One of the girls didn't even receive her silver medal. She was quoted afterwards saying, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I'm not trying to disrespect my team. I'm not trying to disrespect this country. I know it's a high honor, but I did not come to win silver. That wasn't my mission. And I'm wondering how many of us have decided to leave the main mission behind. We know intellectually why we are supposed to be here, to proclaim the forgiveness of sin that only comes through Jesus. But for some reason, we have left that aside and we are settling for silver. We're settling for bronze. We're settling for just showing up to the games. We're settling for just giving it a good go. But my friends, at the end of this life, we will be asked, how many people did you share that I am the forgiver who will forgive their sins? And maybe the reason we are so miserable is like these girls on the screen because they did not achieve their mission. Maybe we are miserable because we're not achieving our mission. You say, Pastor Jeff, I don't know what to say. Or I'm afraid that people will ask me questions I cannot answer. Listen, my friends, when you share your testimony, you're simply saying, this is what Jesus has done for me, and he can do the same for you. You might not have an answer to their question, but you have the answers in Scripture. And so your job is to say, you know what? That's a good question. I'll try to get back to you. But this is what God's word says. And when you share the word of God, then the seed is planted into their heart. Friends, It's not about our clever words that lead people to Christ. It's about the word of God that leads people to Christ. God needs someone to declare it. Who will open up their mouth and share the word of God to those who need God so that they can become like the Son of God? And that's the challenge that we have this morning. My mission is about Jesus' remission, meaning it's about proclaiming Jesus is the forgiver. He's the one that offers forgiveness of sins. And so I have to ask myself, am I doing that? When have I done that? Again, was it yesterday, last week, last month, last year? Have I ever done that? That is my job as a follower of Jesus. I suggest to you, if you do that, even today, tomorrow, this week, that step of faith, that boldness, will be part of your renewal process. And when you obey Jesus this specific way, he will make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. I'm gonna invite the team to come back up as we conclude. But I wanna say one more thing. Most of you know this past week, Billy Graham passed away at age 99. And what an incredible, incredible testimony that Billy Graham has. Matter of fact, how many would say that you personally or somebody in your family came to know the Lord as a result of his ministry? Would you just slip your hand up, anybody? A few people around here. I mean, Billy Graham was responsible for leading thousands to the Lord. But again, the thing that blows me away about Billy Graham was not his style. People were asking questions. Why was he so successful? Why was it his, was he charismatic? Yes. Did he have a way of articulating? You betcha. Some people even say, no, don't ask me this. He was a good-looking dude. I'll let you decide that, all right? He was a dude, right? I don't know, right? But everyone's asking the question, why is he and why was he so successful? Was it his strategy? Was it his clever presentation? Did he come up with a plan of evangelism, A, B, C? No, you know what he was bold about? Repent. And experience the forgiveness of sins. And you go to another one of his crusades. Guess what his message would be? Repent and experience the forgiveness from your sins. I mean, it was a simple message. You see, the question's been asked on social media, and the question's been asked all throughout, who's the next Billy Graham? And I suggest we all are. Oh, sure, we might not be able to be in a stadium with thousands and thousands of people, but guess what? We have the same Holy Spirit of God in us, amen? And we have the same Word of God. We have the same marching orders. Do you want to know what the difference is between Billy Graham and you and I? He wasn't afraid to open up his mouth and publicly declare Jesus and proclaim that he and he alone is the one who will forgive you of your sins. You want to have an impact on your world. You want to have an impact on your family. You want to have an impact in your neighborhood, your sports team, your school, your job, whatever that might look like. Let's start speaking the name of Jesus. Let's start talking about his mission. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, and it only came through the cross and the grave. And I personally received Jesus as my Savior. I've experienced his forgiveness. And my friend, I love you. Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins if you'll simply repent. We will not be held accountable for people who accept Christ or reject Christ, but we will be held accountable for the amount of times we share Christ. Oh, friends, don't lose sight of the most important thing that you could do this week. Right now, pray, God, put somebody on my heart, put somebody in my mind. Who is it that you've put in my life who needs your forgiveness? Oh God, may I have the confidence and boldness to speak about the forgiver. And so I'm just gonna ask, as we close this series, that if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads, I wanna ask two simple questions this morning. Question number one is, how many would say, Pastor Jeff, you know, I haven't received the forgiveness of Christ, and I would like to make that decision today. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you to lift your hands just so that I know that God is doing business with you. Is there anybody here with eyes closed and heads bowed that would lift their hands saying, you know what? I don't think I've ever received the forgiveness of Jesus, and I need to make that decision today. Would you slip your hand up just so I know God's working with you? Anybody? I want to speak to the one or two that slipped your hands up. If that's you, please come see me afterwards, or there's a connection card inside your bulletin. On the back of that, you can give us your name and an email. And there's a box that says, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. Now, checking that box doesn't start a relationship with Jesus. But by checking that box, I will get you some information from the Word of God, which shows you how to do that. You say, well, I can't wait. Well, it's a simple solution. If that's you this morning, then you simply repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Savior. Believe that He died on the cross for you and that He resurrected from the grave. And ask Him to come into your life and to save you and follow you, or follow Him, and He'll forgive you. And so you can do that right now, right here, in the quietness of this moment. Express your faith to God. But some of you might be saying, you know what, Pastor Jeff, I have made this decision, but I have to be honest with you, I haven't been opening up my mouth. I haven't been proclaiming the forgiveness of sins for all those who repent. I've done my best, perhaps, to build relationships with people, but I have to be honest, I haven't opened up my mouth. I'm not fulfilling the mission, but the Word of God has spoken to me this morning. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me this morning, and He's put someone on my heart, on my mind, and that's my next step. I'm gonna obey, and I'm gonna speak Jesus to this person. If that's your decision, would you just slip your hand up this morning? Father, I thank You for this time that You've spoken to the hearts of our people. Lord, I don't know what it's going to take to wake us up. Lord, I don't know why we have reduced Christianity to fall into the realms of our own definition, but Lord, You've made it pretty clear for Your disciples that all You want them to do is start in your hometown and start talking to people about Jesus, about His death, burial, and resurrection, and that He alone offers forgiveness. And then we have that spread from our Jerusalem, which is Powell, to Columbus, and from Columbus to Ohio, and from Ohio to this country, and ultimately to across the world. But so for some reason, Father, Satan has either blinded our eyes or he has distracted us to the point that we're not even willing to share it in our own city. So Lord, I pray that You would convict our hearts and challenge us this day, even today, to speak Your name boldly, because it's in Your name I pray. Amen.